Today's the 26th Sunday after Pentecost. It is the last Sunday after Pentecost. It can be found in your missal perhaps on the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost. Now the epistle for the last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, the first chapter. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you, and do beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel. Sacred in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is in the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and that nurse in those days, but pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days have been shortened, no flesh should be saved. For the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds thereof. From the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have distress, but have confidence, I have overcome the world." These words are taken from the Gospel of St. John, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. During the last week of our Lord's life on earth, our Lord and the apostles were walking through Jerusalem, and the apostles were marveling at the beauty of the temple. As our Lord was preparing for his passion and drawing closer to his death, they were distracted by material things, the things of this world. For materially, the temple at that time was absolutely splendid. When the temple was reconstructed by Herod the Great, he wanted to make it outshine every other edifice. The famous Jewish historian Josephus described the temple saying, "The roof was entirely plated and covered with heavy tiles of gold. At sunrise, it was seen from afar with such a fiery splendor as to dazzle the eyes of beholders as though they were gazing at the sun itself." As our Lord and the apostles were going out of the temple then, one of his disciples said to him, "Master, behold what manner of stones and what manner of temple buildings," meaning, how wonderful and splendid is this temple. But our Lord would help his apostles see what is more important than rocks and mortar. Thus our Lord spoke very sobering and earth-shaking words. He described how that very temple would be destroyed. Jerusalem would be leveled, not leaving one stone upon another. Then in the same passage, he described the end of the world, giving details of the abomination of desolation, who is the Antichrist. He said, "There would be signs as the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall in the sky, and there will be earthquakes and the storms. The sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the sky. All mankind will gather together, and our Lord himself will come again to judge all men." Our Lord was raising the minds of the apostles and teaching them about eternal truths. And so our Lord gave very sobering and, as I said, earth-shaking words: the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the end of the world. However, Holy Mother of the Church uses these words for this Sunday, which is the last Sunday after Pentecost, and is the last Sunday in the liturgical year. And next week, as I mentioned, is the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday in the new liturgical year. Thus, the Church uses these words for the end of the liturgical year to remind her children to prepare for our end. Because one day, there will not only be an end of the world, but there will be an end of our world, our death. Death, my dear faithful, is naturally a sobering and frightening thought. It is jarring, and naturally it is a scary thing to us. As you know, there are many indulgences to be gained for the poor souls during the month of November. And on November 8th, a group of us priests were visiting a cemetery right around the corner, pretty much, from the seminary in New York. And as we entered the gate, we dispersed through all the rows and the columns of monuments to say a couple prayers. And as we walked past the headstones, one caught my attention. It was the monument of a woman who had died in 2020. Her name was Assumpta M. Smith, perhaps a Catholic woman named in honor of the Assumption of Our Lady. What caught my attention and made me pause there at her headstone were the words etched into the stone. As I was standing there, you can imagine yourself standing before the headstone, reading or hearing these words before the headstone: "As you are, I once was. As I am, soon you will be. Prepare to follow me." These words stopped me in my tracks, precisely because the thought of death can jar one's thoughts. It is scary because we have absolute certainty that we will die. We are certain that every person will undergo death. As Scripture says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every man before us has died, with only the exception of Enoch, who walked with God, and Elias, who was taken up in a chariot of fire. With only these two exceptions, every single human has died from Adam and Eve all the way to yesterday. Not one person has escaped the natural result of sin. No matter how wealthy a person is and how much money has spent to avoid it, no matter how much research and how many experiments to prevent it, no matter how carefully men have guarded their health, every person has or will undergo death. The love of life, though, and the fear of death are innate in us, and the reality of the separation of our one body and of our one soul is naturally frightening. Our time is up. The time for merit is over. The time for repentance is done. And the time for reparation is no more. This is what many spiritual writers call the certainty of death. And in today's gospel, our Lord concludes the account of the end of the world with the words that ratify this certainty. He says, "Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass away." With the common usage of the implicit Hebraic condition, the meaning is, even if heaven and earth pass away, my word, the truth, and what I am saying and foretelling with the end of the world will never pass away and will never change. So the end of the world is certain, and the end of our world is certain as well. Not only is there a certainty of death, which is that all of us will have to undergo death, but it is common to read, hear, and learn about the uncertainty of death as well. Through the course of history, from sacred scripture and many revelations of God, we have certain signs of the end of the world. But it is not so with the end of our life. We are certain that we will die, but we do not know when we will die, where we will die, or how we will die. You know, in theology, in philosophy, and in common logic, one ought to be careful with making absolute statements. But I can unwaveringly and unflinchingly say that there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. God promises to forgive the repentant one. However, he does not promise to give every single person time to do reparation. He might not give time to do penance. In fact, he told us that death might come as a thief in the night. Our Lord goes on to teach this exact lesson. Just 16 verses after our Lord's description of the end of the world, he teaches this in the parable of the 10 virgins, which can be found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 25. And I think that this parable might be most useful and practical to understand the uncertainty of death. In the parable, there are 10 virgins preparing to fulfill the role of bridesmaids at a wedding. And in ancient times, as is also a common custom today, the bride and groom would not see each other on the day of their wedding prior to the marriage feast. And also in ancient times, there was a custom of having the marriage feast in the evening or at night. And so in the parable, 10 young women and 10 young men were preparing to process with the groom to the place where the marriage feast would take place. And out of the 10 young women, 5 were wise virgins, and 5 virgins were foolish. The first five were wise because along with their lanterns to see in the night, they also brought oil with them. They were all set, ready to go. The other 5 were foolish because they neglected to have oil with them. They didn't prepare beforehand. So when the groom showed up to go on procession to the feast, the 5 foolish virgins' lamps went out. And so they were there at the store buying oil, and they missed the whole procession. When the 5 foolish virgins finally showed up to the marriage feast late, they knocked on the door saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But the wedding had already begun. The procession and all the guests had already arrived, and the door was shut and locked. In answer to the words of the negligent virgins knocking at the door, came the response of the Lord from the inside saying, "Amen, I say to you, I know you not." Our Lord closed this parable with a warning to us. He said, "Watch ye therefore, because ye know not the day nor the hour." To be crystal clear, the 5 foolish virgins were virgins, and they lived at least decent lives, and they were also invited to the feast of our Lord. But they were foolish because they acted foolishly. They acted foolishly by being negligent. They didn't take seriously the warning of the Lord to watch and to wait for him and to be prepared. When the clock stopped for them, when the Lord came for them, they weren't ready. They were not prepared when death came. They knocked on the door and said, "Let us in, Lord. Let us in. Open to us." And they heard what are perhaps the most frightening words that one could hear on Judgment Day. "Amen, I say to you, I know you not. You haven't walked with me. You have been a stranger all this time. And now you're knocking on my door, but I know you not." As we live, my dear faithful, so shall we die. Live, therefore, in the state of grace to die in sanctifying grace. All other things are worthless or vanity in comparison to the salvation of our soul. We have one life, and we will have one death. We are judged once at our particular judgment, which takes place at the time of our death, and this judgment is ratified at the general judgment of all men. We have one chance, and we know not the day nor the hour. Thus, my dear faithful, with this uncertainty, we need to always be prepared. Perhaps, I know, these words are frightening. Well, as Scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A reasonable fear of death is an excellent way to live a good life. Your priests will tell you these things for the welfare of your soul. They will tell you these things because our Lord told us these things. And as he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have distress, but have confidence. I have overcome the world." The Sacred Heart is telling us to have confidence. Confidence in him alone. For he has overcome death. He has overcome the world, and he has overcome all enemies. It is our part, though, to always be prepared to follow him. Along with a reasonable fear of death and a loving confidence in our Lord, mark my words, death is never sudden for one who is ready. For the Catholic that seeks always to be prepared, it will not be a surprise. For judgment will always find him with the lamp of sanctifying grace burning in his soul, and he will always have a reinforcement and supply of the holy oil of grace from the sacraments, especially of confession and Holy Communion. Therefore, my dear faithful, prepare for death. Always be prepared for death. Eradicate sin from your life. Avoid the occasions of sin. Use your daily prayers to Christ the King and our Blessed Mother, and stay close to the sacraments. If we do these things, we will not be like the foolish virgins in the parable, but we will have our spiritual lamps and oil prepared. If we live always prepared for death, then to us it will never be a surprise. And along with having a confidence and trust in our Lord, we will be wise enough to follow the advice of the words on the headstone. As you are, I once was. As I am, soon you will be. Prepare to follow me. Always, my dear faithful, always be prepared for our Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.